Good, good, good. Wonderful. Take your Bibles, please. All right. Take your Bibles, Mark chapter 5. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good, good, y'all sit down. Mark chapter number 5. It is good to be here. And what a joy. Good, good, good. Mark chapter 5, if you have your Bibles. Mark chapter 5. If you don't have your Bibles, burn them. I love the rules have just, they've not changed. So. And I'm sure the excuses haven't changed either. Well, actually, we were walking out at midnight in prayer, and I was like, yeah, whatever. So, heard it all, wrote it all, said it all, amen. But it's interesting who gives what announcements, right? So anyway, you have to deal with them, so that's right. It's good to be here. Thank you so much, and I appreciate Pastor giving me the opportunity. And Brother Ray called a while back ask about being here, and I was very honored and thrilled. And the auditorium here is just beautiful, what they've done to it. My family and I came here in December of 06, and I remember when you weren't even born. I remember we pulled in, it was a day like this, and it was December 27th, and I remember us pulling in to unload the U-Haul, and I thought, we missed winter. This is great. Because I lived in Tennessee, and where we're at, North Carolina, Zach, really, y'all know, if they say it's going to snow in Kentucky, North Carolina takes a day off. It's really good. And that's why I moved out there. I like taking days off. And it's not my fault. Brother Teff started. So, but anyway, whenever I need a laugh, I just throw him under the bus. So, but we came here, and it was a day like this, unloaded the U-Haul, and I thought, Jen, I didn't lead you astray. This is good. Winter's done. It's past. And then it snowed the next day until Easter, I think. And it was bad. And first time it snowed like 2 or 3 feet, and I thought it was end times. Armageddon's here. So like I said, moving up from Murfreesboro, you didn't get out in that stuff. It could kill you. And so I'm at the house, and I get a call from Dr. Vogel, and he said, where are you? I said, I'm at home. It snowed. Yep, does that about 9 months out of the year. Get to work. It's like, okay. So anyway, so I said, work's not good for me. I got to go, Pastor. So Mark chapter 5. But no, we enjoyed June 2013 is when we took the pastorate there at Liberty. And Ward's been very kind. And Preacher Cox, as was mentioned, was there. Brother Jack Cox was there for 30 years. Just tremendous man of God. Pray for his health if you would. He's still a dear friend. I sure do love him. Miss Renee, faithful servants of God and heroes of the faith for sure. God's been very kind to us. I have no idea what I'm doing, but he still lets me pastor, and I appreciate that. Isn't it humbling that God would use us? We're preaching through the Beatitudes on Sunday morning, and I told the church Sunday, I said, isn't it interesting? God's going to give us a reward if you do this. Like the last one was persecution for his sake, not for your sake. Some of y'all think you're getting persecuted, but it's not for his sake. You're just rude. So, but if you get persecuted for his sake, he said, great is your reward in heaven. Who would think God would give me anything? And he's so kind to us, isn't he? Mark chapter 5, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, just act like it. We'll be in verse 35. Mark 5:35. There's so many things running through my mind right now. It's good to be back here. And 9 years is too long. I need to come back more often. We'll be back in December for the tournament, I think y'all are having. But is there a Maddie Holler? Maddie, you in here? Right there. You work at Panera Bread? Okay. I'm a psychic on the side, so I just thought I'd... I see you giving me $1,000. No, I'm just kidding. I was eating with a friend of mine. Last night, Brother Ronnie Patoka, and he said him and a group of men come in there for a Bible study, and he just said the men, you're very kind and polite to them, and he appreciated that. And so be careful, because people are watching. Amen. And you led the Bible study for the last few weeks, I think. And so I appreciate you preaching the word. Hang in there. Anyway, so love the last name. You know, Maddie Holla. All right, but anyway, yeah. So, West Side, you know, it's good. I got to get focused, man. It's going to be bad. Good old times, Mark 5, verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make you this ado and weep? Aren't you thankful we have a God that nothing rocks his world?" He is the world. He built it. He made it. Nothing makes him. There's certain words you don't find in Scripture. Well, there's a lot of Bibles written. They're not true. But in the Word of God, there's certain words you don't find. You don't find in God said, "Oops." I'm glad that's not in there. Okay. I've seen some people that I thought maybe it was. I went back and checked. Did you make them? And God said, "Uh-oh, it's not in there." So Jesus walks into a crisis, and while everyone else is acting probably the way I would have acted in that same crisis, I've been there, done that. Jesus can walk in as calm as the day he said, "Let there be." I'm so thankful for that. Keep reading. And the damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in with the damsel where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha cumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. I would be as well. That's not in there. You know, I'm just talking. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Our Heavenly Father, I need your touch. Lord, I've asked you a million times in the last 2 weeks preparing to be here that I just want you to be honored and glorified and uplifted. It's all about you. I thank you for the leadership of this ministry and all the ministries that are under First Baptist Church. I pray continue to strengthen them, meet their needs, bless them in a big way. Lord, I pray that these next few moments, I know what it's like to sit where these students sit. I know what it's like to walk these halls, specifically as a teacher. But Lord, I pray that you'll help me to be a help to them. They hear a lot of messages, and I'm not trying to compete or compare with anybody. Lord, I just want to uplift you and your word. You are so kind to us, and I want to thank you for that. Be with Jenny and the kids back at the house. Keep them safe. Meet their needs. Father, forgive me for I failed you. Holy Spirit of God, use me. Help me to say everything I'm supposed to say, and help me not to say what I should not. I love you. Amen. What a story. If you've ever been to a time in your life where you were not sure where to turn, you were not sure where to go. If you've not, just keep living. Unfortunately, it rains on the just and the unjust. You'll have great days and enjoy them. There's nothing wrong with having a good day. I've heard some preachers, it's almost a sin if you're happy. And it's almost a bad thing if you enjoy life. And it's almost a horrible thing to have a happy person in the ministry. But you can be in the ministry and be happy, even in bad things. The Bible does not say that we are to be thankful for everything. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. So there's a lot of things I'm not thankful for, and I'm still not. But while I'm in it, while I'm going through it, I can be thankful in it. So here's a story of a mom and dad. And I want you today, I want us to picture who it is that you're working with, who it is you're serving. I want you to picture your pastor back at home that no doubt you've walked in the auditorium to see him down at the altar praying, and you just said, "Mm-mm, y'all, not now." Or maybe you walked into the office and whatever setup is there to see him as he's getting up off his knees and he says, "Hey, come on in." And you're wondering how long you've been there. Or to watch him and his dear wife, maybe as he'll reach over and grab her hand during invitation after he's done preaching. It's been a long day on a Sunday. And there they are as they spend time in prayer. And just think about those people that are on the shoulders of that man and that lady of God. And think about the people that you're ministering to right now, that teenager maybe this weekend or this past week, or that young adult or whoever it is that you knocked on their door, and they are just unloading their world on you. And in your mind, you're thinking, dude, I'm 18. I got 20 bucks in the bank. I got nothing to help you with. While you stand there and go, yes, yes. Talk counseling here for a little bit. And like one of the first things you tell people, act like you've heard it before. Some things you don't do in a counseling session. You did what? That's not good. Okay. Even if it's your first one, man, my second week at Liberty as a pastor, I need to say, yeah, come on in. I mean, I'm thinking we're going to just chew the fat, you know. And it was like, whoa, wow. What were you thinking? But Jeff said, yeah. And I'll never forget, this person said, I know you probably never, oh, no, dealt with this a lot. And after they left, of course, you're calling the bat phone with everybody you can think of. Hey, any ideas, you know? And that's where I want to talk about this. Would somebody go get God? We're introduced to a family that is in need. We're introduced to a family that is hurting in the worst way. Money cannot fix the problem, although it's obvious by the leadership that Jairus has and by the people, the servants that work for him. He has the money, he has the means. And those of you, the married students in here, understand what I'm talking about. And those are not, you will. When it comes to you or yours, you'll find the means, even if you don't have it. How can I help? That's my daughter, you know. Prayer request, when it's your prayer request, I'm halfway listening. And yeah, I'll be praying for that. When it's mine, I want you to write it down. So this is real to this man. This is real to his wife. And money cannot fix the problem. Prestige does not fix the problem. No one and nothing can take care of this sad situation. It's a situation that continues to grow and get worse and worse. It started with, sweetheart, our daughter's not feeling well today. And maybe mama, as all moms, you know, put the hand to the back of the hand. I don't know why they do that, my mama. My daddy would, oh, hush, boy, get to school. Because he knew I was just trying to skip school. And then my wife will say, hush, you got to go preach. You're the pastor. And, babe, I don't feel good. The world's coming to an end. And then it went to the next day where they found out, you know, she's not eating and she's not acting like she normally acts. And then it got worse and it got worse. And they probably called in everyone they could call in. And in those days, they would try a lot of things. And it's getting to the point where now this dad is willing to go anywhere and do anything to get things accomplished. Today, as we walk through this text, and just leave your Bibles open there, we'll walk through this text, but I want to achieve a couple things. One, I want you in your mind right now to think about, and if they're still living, to think about that person. And I know it's all glory to God, but God does use people. And who was that lady, who was that man that God used in your life? Whether it was to give you the gospel or whether you're about to quit, you're done. I've tried all this. It's just not me. It's not working. I'm done with this church thing. But who was that person that on your way out the door, you had a God moment with them and they said, you okay? And God allowed your path to cross their path and you said, I'm really not. This isn't for me. And they said, let's take a walk. Not after 2 o'clock, but anyway, let's take a walk. And they walked with you and they showed you the scripture and they spent some time with you. And if it wasn't for them, I want you to think about them. And then I want you to encourage them. A while back, I preached a message about where Jesus said, where are the nine? And talking about being grateful and thankful. And I passed out thank you cards that we had made up to everybody that was there that morning and gave them an envelope and said, I want you to send this card to that person. Who is that person that led you to Christ? Who is that person that you say, if it wasn't for that man of God, if it wasn't for that lady of God, maybe they don't even know it. But you might want to say, right now, if you can shoot a text and nobody catch you, or maybe afterwards, but they need a phone call. They need a letter. We don't write anymore. They need a letter. They need something that says, hey, I just want to say thank you. And then the second goal of this message today is to get you and I to be that one that'll go get God. Is there anybody here today that knows where he's at? Is there anybody here today that can get him? Who is that one that if we needed God right now, are you the one that knows how to get an answer? Jairus and his wife talking. No doubt they got to the point where he said, you know what? I don't know what he knows about Jesus, but somehow he found out about this man named Jesus. Somehow he found out that this man Jesus can do this, and whether he's a believer or not, he does believe that Jesus can do this. So he said, I'll go get him. I don't know how long the travel was. I don't know how far he had to go, but I do know this, and by way of introduction, I want to point out a couple things. There was a great crowd that was there. That's found in verse number 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people, notice that, much people. If I knew that Jesus Christ were to be here today in chapel, you better go get another building. You better get a better PA system. You better get a large facility, because if Jesus himself was showing up, the word, speaking the written word, telling us all about it and truly explaining it well. Preachers think, you know, we try to act smarter than we are. Truth is, when we all get to heaven, I think God's going to have a whole million years where, because it's eternity, what are you going to do? And wherever you sit down, let me set all y'all straight. Okay, you got salvation, right? That's why you're here. Everything else, I'm going to have to tweak some things. Amen. But I know this. If the Word of God is coming to talk to me about Him and about the Word, I'm going to be there. And so you have much people there. And what I like about Jesus is when there's much people, you would almost think, I cannot get individual time with Him during this time. Pick the biggest event you've ever been at and try to find the one that's in charge of that event. And I need to spend some special time. I need to get to you. I need to talk with you. But aren't you glad you have a God that regardless of the event, there was a time when 25,000 came in because they were following him around because, oh man, he's healing people. He's touching people. But there was a little lad that was led by the hand of Andrew. Andrew doesn't want the microphone. Andrew does not want the platform. If anything, as soon as you find Andrew, he says, let me go get my brother. And then they get to this crowd. He says, let me just, hey, little boy, you want to meet that man? Would you like him to sign that bag? You brought that lunch in? Come on this way. He was so good at leading one person to the Son of God. That's what he loved to do. And in that big crowd, Jesus says, thank you. Oh, it was Christ that when they could not fit anyone else into the room, all of a sudden the roof started falling apart. And they lowered him down. He said, how are you doing? He said, not good. You are now. Take him in bed and walk. It was Christ that every time there's a crowd, and once again you find much people here, but know this, when you need him, you can get to him. And God is the only one in your world that will say, come anytime. Talk about any subject and stay as long as you want. You don't have to make an appointment. You wake up at 2:30. God, he doesn't say, excuse me, it's going to be about 3 months before I can get to you. He says, what do you need? God, there's a subject. We don't talk about that. I'm glad he doesn't say that. I'm glad he doesn't say, I've got somebody else I got to see. We'll do a follow-up. How's next Friday work for you? You and I are the ones that says, am I bothering you? God says, I'm so infatuated with you. The hairs on your head have a number. I'm so infatuated with you. I bottle the tears. Every time you mention my name, I write it down in a book. I love you. If you want to leave, that's your business. But I would love if you could stay a little while longer. What a God. And this crowd that was there, they're everywhere, but there is one that gets to him, because you'll notice, again, by way of introduction, a great cry. Not only was there a great crowd, but look at this great cry. It's found in verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, this is difficult for many reasons, but it's difficult, one, because he's a man. Men do not like to be humbled. Don't we battle with pride? Men, y'all did a great job singing. Aren't you thankful for that? Because if you'd have messed up, one, you'd get pulled in the office. I've been in them meetings. Except I went with the sons of the prophets. We never had that issue. Y'all still have them? Huh? Whoa. I took them with me. They never came back. Amen. I hired them. Hey, we've got 17 staff that from Hiles Anderson College. That's pretty good. Out of 43, 17 of them from here. I don't know where that came from. It was just... Oh, I was talking about y'all messing up. Okay. But it's a good thing y'all did well. I mean, I'm getting nervous like getting to the edge of this thing because I've fallen off of so many platforms. It's just embarrassing. I've ripped my britches on platforms. I mean, you name it, it's happened. I was preaching in Michigan, a youth meeting. I went to jump up on a banister and they had taken down decorations, but they left the nails. I thank you for feeling my pain because it was bad. One, all I heard was, two, what do you do? I just started preaching. I mean, I'm like at this time in the message. So it's kind of like, all righty then. Amen. And we're just going to, let's have a time of prayer, shall we? You know, I'm trying to figure out what in the world. So I just took my coat off, wrapped it around my waist and preaching a skirt. Amen. And so-called priests have been doing it for years. I thought I'd join them. Amen. But here he is. He is willing to fall. He's willing to humble himself. Because when you get to the place where it's real, and I'm not saying it's not real to you, but there's going to be a trial. There's going to be something in your life. I need God. And if you ever been there where you're about to just, whether it's cry, you're just about to just, I mean, and everything is zoning out and everyone's in their world and I'm not bashing them. I'm happy they're happy. But right now I'm not. Right now I've had something put on me. I mean, as pastor, if you can go 24 hours without receiving somebody's bad news, it's almost scary. You get to the end of the day and go, I don't think I got a bad call yet. And then you power down the phone. And, you know, it's like, whoa. But when it's you, oh, you won't care who's watching. You won't care who's around. He goes and he finds the Son of God. And this leader is willing to fall at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter. Who is it that you're serving right now in ministry? Who is it that you look to and say, man, if I don't show up to that house, they're not going to get to church. And if I don't pray for them, I don't know if anyone else is going to pray for them. And if I don't provide for them spiritually, I don't know if anyone else that's going to provide for them. And there ought to be some people and every man and lady of God in this college today, I want to encourage you to learn how to get to God and learn how to fall at his feet and learn how to, I ain't leaving here until you meet with me, God, and it's not for me right now. We'll talk about me later, and hopefully Jeremiah 33 will start kicking in. I've got a lot of wants. I have a lot of desires, but right now I'm asking for that marriage over there, and I'm asking for that teenager, and I'm asking for that single adult that's confused and doesn't really understand what's going on in their world, and they're struggling right now. But, oh, God, I need you to get to them, and if you'd use me, I sure would love to be used by you. But, God, I just have to have you. And then look at the great cure, because it comes in verse 24. You have this great crowd and a great cry, but then thank God for the great cure. Verse 24, this is all I need to know. Jesus went with him. That's it. If you have Jesus going to the house, it's good. Who else do you need? I don't need another book. I don't need a singer. I don't need a preacher. I don't need a choir. I don't need anybody. As long as I have Jesus going to my house, Brother Jeremy, that's all I need is Jesus going to the house. Oh, yes. You get him going to the house, my house is good. Man, can it get any better? Now, you may have to clean up the house. Amen. We've only got a few minutes. I'll get y'all out of here right on time. But hey, we need to get Jesus in our world. This took some planning. This took some purpose. This took some persistence. I can see this little girl as her daddy kisses her on the brow. She's not responsive right now and her temperature's sky high. He says, baby, I'll be back. And on his way there, he goes through all of this, and he doesn't care who's watching. He could care less. This is like Black Friday shopping on steroids. I'm running through that door, and I'm knocking over everybody that's around just to get that flat-screen TV. Amen. TV's wicked, but I've got four in the house. Okay, so here we go. Number one, I'm a Cowboy fan. Just don't want to miss a play, okay? They help my prayer life. All right, good. Get off my back. I know we're losers, but anyway. So you get to Jesus. What's going to happen by the time I get to him and the time I get back? Remember when you're called to preach. Ladies, remember when you're called to full-time service. Remember when you said, you know, Lord, I'll do that. I'll teach. I'll go to that mission field. I'll preach. I'll do whatever you need. What do I do? And you're just taking step after step after step. Okay. So you found him. Praise the Lord. And don't lose him while you're here. Okay. Juniors, listen to me. Don't lose him while you're here. That was the year I struggled. I was born in church. Actually, in the auditorium. No. But all I know is church. Okay. This is it. I just wake up and I'm wearing a tie. I guess we're going to church again. I mean, it's insane. So this is all I know. But there was a time where I was like, this is all I know. So you struggle. What's going to happen? Let me give you some thoughts if you want to jot them down. They're just one word each. So here we go. Number one, you're going to face delay. Delay. The Bible says that as Jairus is getting to Jesus Christ, he gets the Son of God. He has him. He's fallen at his feet. Jesus hears, and let me tell you this, if you want to get the Son of God's attention, let him know there's a child in crisis. You want to get God to look down on you in a good way or a bad way. You harm a child, he said, it's better. So I don't know what he thinks you ought to happen to you. But he says, it's better if you just tie a millstone about that boy's neck and throw him in. And I don't know what you're going to do down there, but drown. Everybody okay? So death penalty on that. That's what Jesus said. He's pretty rough. Don't get mad at me. That, you know, all that grace and lovey-dovey y'all talk about. That's what he said. And that's better. So think about what he thinks. But you want to get his attention, abuse a child and see him running. He'll take you out. Also, let him know there's one in need. Jesus says, let's go. Can you imagine the joy? I have three sons. The boys are all bigger than I am now. And I have three grandbabies. Oh, yes. My handle is hashtag Papa G. And when those kids, y'all pray for me. They're demon possessed, but they're all mine. Emmett is the oldest. He's 3. Katie's 2. Sadie just showed up. She's 5 months. Katie imitates whatever Emmett does. Emmett, he's full of the devil. I love that kid. They're just adorable. Katie walked in the office the other day, Sunday morning, and I'm doing last minute things. It's after Sunday school, getting ready for church. She comes walking in, and I don't know what they watched the night before, but she's looking at me. And I'm like, KK, come here, girl. She's like, Papa. And I was like, come out of her. In Jesus' name. She walks up and bites me right there on the leg. Dear God, and I mean, she's like, arr. And I was like, girl. Emmett goes, she's a pterodactyl. How in God's name does a 3-year-old that can't even spell his name say pterodactyl? Lord help. And I was wearing like a tan suit, so there's bite marks right there, you know. Good morning. Welcome to Liberty. We're so glad y'all are here today. Amen. Wow. I don't know how I got off on that. But anyway. Oh, Jesus is coming to the house. There you go. But on the way there, delay. I won't read all of it for sake of time. Look at verse 25. And a certain woman. Now, don't get me wrong. Those next 10 verses, oh boy, aren't those great verses. This is the only time you'll find Jesus calling any woman daughter. When it's all done, she touches the hem of his garment. He's walking by. She didn't even touch him. She touched him. All she got was the hem of him, and that's all she needed was his hem. You get the hem of him, maybe enough. We could stay there another hour. Jairus is walking with Jesus, and I think they're at a heavy pace. Why? It's my daughter. My daughter. And the more he talked, the more they're going, the more they're moving. And on their way, somebody grabbed him. And Jesus stopped. Jairus kept walking. Jesus, it's bad. I'm telling you, it's bad. Jesus, whoa. Oh, what is this woman doing? You've been sick 12 years. What's one more day? God, come on. Don't act so spiritual. You know what I'm talking about. Delay. There will be times in your life it seems that God's not working. Stay with me, y'all. 6 minutes, we're done. It seems he's not working. But just because there are fruit of work in other people's life does not mean he stopped working in your life. If everybody you witnessed to got saved, could we even live with you? My new book on how to lead a soul to Christ just came out. Because right now I'm batting 1,000. All the glory, you know. Well, not all of it, but most of it goes up to the Lord. We couldn't live with each other. Every message I preach, man, there's so many messages I go home and like after this one, I'll be like, what was I thinking? And sometimes my wife goes, I don't know. But what a great miracle. However, delay. Be careful when delay comes in your life that you do not allow frustration and aggravation and depression and discouragement to come in with it. Because all of us will have a season in our life where it seems like God has hit the pause button and now he's dealing with someone else. When the truth is, there's a reason why. And this sounds bad. He's waiting for the girl to die. One, Jesus knows what you can handle. He's not going to put any more on you than you can bear. I love 1 Corinthians 10:13, but God is faithful. His mercy is lamentation. Mercy is anew every day. You ever gotten that new car and you ought not get in it? When I was in college, you know, you can't afford anything. So we'd go test drive cars on Saturday. Because they drop you off to go visit a bus route and I didn't have a ride. So I'd go down and test drive a car and, hey, like, can I borrow this car a little? I'll like test drive it. Go ahead. An hour later, you know, we visit the route and come on back. Don't do that. That's going to be a rule. Mark that down. But anyway, back to the word. You get in that car and it's like, oh, isn't that smell the best? And any parent in here knows I'm talking about there's no French fries in the seat. There's no chips inside the, why are you not wearing your seatbelt? Sir, there's chips lodged in there. I have a demonic granddaughter who bites people because she's a pterodactyl. Okay. Wow. There is delay. When God hits the pause button in your life, trust me, he's still working in your world. He has not left you nor forsaken you. He's working just because you see fruit in somebody else's life. And we need to learn. And it's easier to say it than to live it. It's easier to sing it than to live it. It's easy to preach it. But when you have to go through it, I know it's difficult. But let me encourage you, when delay comes in your life, and some of y'all are sitting here right now because that bus was full 1 week and it's not full this week, and you're the one, but what's wrong with you? You ain't too spiritual today. Everything going, and you're like, dear God, I wish I knew what was wrong with me. I don't know what's going on. I got a hold of Jesus about 3 months ago and I thought everything was going well, and I'm struggling. But when delay happens, don't stop. How about the word death? Jot that down, the word death. Have you ever tried something and it just dies? And here it's a physical death, but it may be a spiritual. And to do all the work that Jerry's put in, to do spend all that he has and be willing to humiliate himself, but he does everything just to hear in verse 35, thy daughter is dead. Be careful. Listen to me. Please be careful, because it happens in all of our lives and sometime a season in our Christian life. There will be someone or something that will die in your world. And how many people have taken this? Cannot believe that happened. Reality is death happens to us all. Nobody's escaping it. And if you think you're going to start every ministry and it turns out to be the best and you're the next whatever, let me tell you something, there's going to be a lot of things that don't work. But when it doesn't work, it ain't me anyway. And I may have to wipe some tears, and there may be some times when I have to say, I'm sorry. You're good. God, you're so good. I don't get it right now. I left my wife. I gave her my word. That's my daughter. I found you. You are it. We were on the way. And now I hear this. God, I don't get it. Stay with him. Because doubt, jot that word down, doubt will show up. Many times as a leader, you're not going to show doubt. I get it. As a parent, how many times my sons, when they were teenagers, Dad, I'm struggling with it. Well, son, let me help you. And I go back to my wife, Jenny, I have no idea what to say to this kid. But you have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that's abusing that text there, but you just got to put on. I mean, it's like, I've got this. Oh, it's all fine. We're good to go. How many times I get my church, here's what we're going to do. God has revealed this to me. And you go back in the woods and go, I hope you revealed that. I think I got Bible to back it up. I need help. Yeah, doubt will come. Look at what the Bible says in verse 36. I love this. As soon as Jesus heard, he's paying attention. He's listening. Those of you that have packed your bags in your mind, or you may have already packed them physically, unpack them, because Jesus is right there. And he looked at that man, Jairus, I can see the shoulders droop. But when your shoulders get to a level where God said, that's all he can bear, time for the spotter to get in. He said, hey, be not afraid, only believe. And let me go ahead and rush through this because I need to stop. But you'll have discouragement is the next one. And the one after that is you have the damsel. So they get to the house and they walk in, and the Bible says, Jesus said, why weep and make you this to do? The damsel's not dead, she's just sleeping. What did they do right away? They start laughing him to scorn. You know how we have fun with each other and we pick on each other, but we don't mean it. Like I told my brother, I'm the youngest of four. I told my brother a lot, I won't kill you, but I didn't mean like stop your heart, kill you. Okay? I've picked on my sisters before, but I don't like mean I hate them. I just don't like you. I love them now, but when you have people in your world, anytime anyone mocks the word, they now have to leave my house. Some of y'all are keeping the wrong people in your world. Does not mean I'm unkind. It does not mean I'm rude. It does not mean that I'm not willing to shake your hand, hug your neck, and buy you a meal. But when it comes to relationship, bye. Anytime, because they laughed him to scorn, Jesus said, out. Peter, James, John, get in here. They got to go everywhere. And I got my own thoughts on that. Bless you. That whole row, go get a COVID test. All right, here we go. So here they are. He said, get them out. They got to go. Some of y'all need to get rid of some people. Some of y'all here in college need to get rid of some people in college. Like, if you get up and move right now, you ain't going to bother me. Because I'm telling you, you need to get away from some people. Because anyone that will discourage me, anyone that laughs at this word, anyone that will mock this, bye. Because I would rather look at what's dead and go, hey, Pete, tell Jesus. I mean, Luke's not here. I'm no doctor, but I don't think she's sleeping. And I can see Peter going, guys, now's not a good time. I've seen that look before. Like, I've made him do that look before. Y'all just, she's sleeping, Jesus. You got that right. Woo! Y'all be quiet. She's sleeping. Because when Jesus walks over and touches, did you know he can bring back to life anything that you killed? What he gave you to take care of and you didn't take care of it, or you tried your best and it just failed and it just flopped. Aren't you glad you have the Son of God that can walk back in that world and say, I can bring it back to life? How's Anderson ain't gonna make it? Well, it won't, but you let Jesus walk in here, he'll make sure it makes it. It don't matter what it is. It don't matter who it is. You let the Son of God walk in and you let him put a touch on that little girl. She's standing up. And then when they're done, he says, almost tripped, he says, go get her something to eat. And let me tell you, what you need to do is feed. You got to keep feeding those people you're working with. Well, Jesus robes it. Oh, yeah, guess what? She's still got to eat. So get back in that word and make sure you feed them. Them night bus messages are fun, but that ain't going to feed people. So get in the book and get to feeding. That'll keep you awake as you're driving through the night and y'all acting the fool, and that's wonderful and that's fun. I did it. But hey, that ain't going to feed people. Get in the book. And then he said, don't tell anybody. Excuse me? Y'all just keep it to yourself. You know you can't keep anything to yourself. This is the most gossiping crowd I've ever seen in my life. And ladies, don't think you got us beat. Men can out-gossip you all day of the week. Preachers just call it counseling. You let me and some preachers get together and give us a Dunkin' Donuts, it's on. I can counsel all night. Brother, have you heard? How can I pray? Well, here's how to pray. Straight up gossip. Just confess it in the morning. How do I not tell that? It's not like she had the flu. It's not like she sprained her ankle. She did. Like dead. Parts of the country, she's dead. Or she did. And now she's alive. Oh, I would testify every Sunday. I'd say, excuse me, can I say a word for the Lord? Stand up, sweetheart. Did y'all know my... you'd get so tired of that, it'd be a year later. Excuse me, I'm going to testify. We know she was dead. Talithakumai, be interpreted, my daughter. We know. Yeah, but No. He said, let her speak for herself. And that's what you're supposed to do. I hope your doctor and I hope your belief is not, well, the pastor said, or my church believes, or my daddy believes, or my mama believes. What do you believe? Father, I love you and I have so much to say, but God, my prayer, my desire is that we would have some men and some women that would know how to get a hold of you when they have somebody in dire need. God, there's so many damsels like in Mark. They just need a man and a lady of God that are willing to stay through their sick times, that they're willing to go at all cost, travel as far as they gotta travel. If it means I travel to the other side of the world, I'll do it. If it means I walk across Sibley Street, I'll do it. I just want to find that one that needs God. God, I pray for these men and these women of God that you would cover them with your love. I know there's somebody right now that's hurting so bad. They're struggling. They thought they were doing the right thing, and it seems like something's died. Father, would you help them? Would you give them the grace and the strength they need? Touch them in a great way. Help them to be not afraid, only believe. As the pianist plays, you take your time, do business with the Lord.